Thank you, Sam and choir and orchestra. What they've done is they've shown us what the meaning of Christmas is. It's so hard to keep it in mind and keep it in focus as we progress through the season. It's really strange what people think about when they think about Christmas, but it appears that most of us think about ourselves. That's what most of us think about at Christmas time. And the evidence of it is we are so driven to repeat things and do things that are familiar to us and that we are very fond of. I noticed yesterday we were on a long road trip, my wife and I were. We noticed at least twice that there were lines of people over a mile long who were waiting to go in to see Christmas lights. Is that what Christmas is all about, seeing Christmas lights? I also noticed on Facebook that some parents really get into torturing their children by making them sit in Santa Claus's lap. That's not about those children, that's about you. God bless you. You need to be forgiven. So what is Christmas all about? In fact, what is all of this about? It's about one thing, ladies and gentlemen. One thing. And one thing only. The Bible is 66 books written by over 40 authors over a period of 1,500 years. But the Bible has one story. It's about one thing. And if you want a summary of all of it, the most popular verse in the Bible tells us what it's all about. And you know that verse. Every one of you knows that verse. In fact, I invite you to repeat it with me. John 3:16. Would you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse tells us what it's all about. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not all about you. It's not about me. It's about God. For God so loved the world. When the Apostle John wrote his first letter, he said, God is love. This is the explanation and the rationale for why any of this exists. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why are we here? It is because God is love. God desired to express his love and have his love experienced, because that's who God is. And therefore God created that we could experience what he was expressing, which is love. In order for us to experience it, we had to have the capacity to do that, the capacity to love like he loved us. And so he gives us the freedom to love him in return. But with that freedom, there is the freedom to reject him. And that's what we've all done. And so the wonder of God's love is that God so loved the world. That's you and me who have rejected his love. We have sinned against God. We have broken his law, we have rejected him, and yet God loves us. That's what it's about. It's about God. It's about God's love. It's about God's gift. For God so loved the world that he gave. All these gifts we give to one another, there used to be times when we would we would get up early on Friday after Thanksgiving, and we would go shopping and fight with people. Now, we go online. And we let people who are paid to drive vans through our neighborhoods deliver their gifts to us so that we can deliver gifts to somebody else. The greatest gift that was ever given was given by God to you and me. The gift was God's Son. Now, why did God give His Son? He gave His Son because the penalty for sin is death. And all of us have sinned. Therefore, all of us are under the condemnation of death. The payment for that sin is death. So we were all obligated to pay for our own sin with our own death. How did that accomplish God's love? It didn't. God's intention is not to punish us, because God loves us. And so God satisfied His righteousness. God pleased Himself, if you would, by sending His own Son to die, who had never sinned, never violated God's law, but loved us in the same way God the Father loved us. And so He voluntarily died for you and me. For God so loved the world. He really did, folks. For Christ to die for us. So what is Christmas about? It's about God's love. It's about God's gift. And finally, it's about God's offer. Because even though there's a gift out there, nothing has changed. Even though God loves us, nothing has changed until we hear and respond to the offer. And here it is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him, that's the key, that's the offer. Sacrifice His Son made for each one of us is of no avail until we place our faith, our trust in Jesus. That's what it means to believe in Him. It doesn't just merely to mean to accept the history of His existence. While that's important and vitally necessary, it's not enough. Believing in Him means trusting in Him. That is, letting go of any attempt on our part to satisfy the righteousness of God and depending exclusively on the work that Jesus has done for us by dying on the cross. That's the offer. Here's the gift. It is eternal life. It's offered to you based upon your faith and your repentance of sin. That's what it's all about. If you think Christmas is about a baby born in Bethlehem, you haven't looked down the road. The baby was born so that the baby could die, because God so loved the world. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I don't presume that anybody in this building is not a Christian. Nor do I presume that everybody in this building is. Very possible that you came today at the invitation of someone, and you're only here, you think, because of them. It's possible that you like music. We like music. Any number of reasons you could be here that have nothing to do with the real meaning of Christmas. But I don't want you to miss it. God loves you. His Son died for you, providing a gift. The gift is eternal life, and the offer is trust My Son. So right where you are, in the quietness of your own mind, would you place your faith in Jesus Christ? How do you do that? Well, it's as simple as admitting your need. When you admit that you are a sinner, then you open the door for faith to react to the gift of God. While prayers don't save anybody, they are a wonderful way for us to express our heart to God. And if you would like to place your faith in Jesus, I invite you to say a prayer to God. It's not what you say that matters. It's what you mean. So if you mean this prayer, God will answer it. Here's the prayer. Just without saying a word, echo it in your mind. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I deserve punishment. But thank you for the gift of your Son who died to pay for my sin. I do trust Him. And I give my life to you who gave your life for me. Now, with the rest of my life, I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to welcome you to God's family. If you meant that prayer, you echoed it to God the Father, welcome. I'd love to talk with you about it, just to show you what the first steps of following Christ are. As soon as we're dismissed, after we sing again,